Bless the Lord. Thank you very much, son. You may be seated. Woo! Bless the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord, place of worship and praise. Good to see all of you fine people once again into the house of the Lord. And all you cowboy folk and cowgirls, I want to thank you. I've always wanted to have at least one day a cowboy church before I leave the planet. And what a pleasant surprise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. I expect to see all of y'all at the Bill Pickett Rodeo in July. Sister Hawkins and I will be there, and I plan to ride in on the Grand Entry Parade again. So want to see you there. Amen. They don't have me come get you. I get on my horse and come down to 210, to the 605, to the 105. Get off at Hawthorne, go south on Hawthorne, hook a right on El Segundo, and pull up on Ramona Boulevard. Don't make me come get you. If you have your Bibles, let's go quickly to Joshua. I won't say what I'd like to say, but I'm going to say what I need to say. Y'all remain faithful. Remain faithful. This journey is not about you. It's about the Almighty. We are participants in this business called Christianity. The kingdom is what's important. And I'm just honored to have been chosen by the Almighty to be a participant in God's largest scheme of reconciling the world back to himself. So what I have to say, I've already said. You may read the little excerpt in the bulletin. We've spent just some wonderful time in what I'll call healthy transitional types of stuff. Yeah. I've never been a part of anything like this. While challenging, it is a cherishing time. And I thank all of you for that. Now, if I had some final words, these would be those words. Joshua chapter 1, and if you don't mind, I want to read this text from the New International Version. I appreciate the reading by one of my sons in the faith, Don Toma. But listen, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River, into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Underline that. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Great Sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Underline that. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Underline that. And then no less than three times, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's the sermon topic this morning. Be strong and courageous. Stan Harmon, be strong and courageous. Don Toma, be strong and courageous. Hawthorne family, be strong and courageous. And understand that your strength and your courage is not coming from you. It's going to come from him. Look what he says in verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give. Yahweh is not advocating human strength. You know about that already. He's not talking about your courage. You know about that already. Our strength fails us. Our courage fails us. Some of us, if not all of us, come into challenges that challenge our courage. It takes courage to lead God's people. Many are called, but few are chosen. Not all men have been called to be courageous leaders of God's people. This is serious business. So this is a sober speech. And God has given it to Joshua. Moses is dead. Now mind you now, Joshua is no passive fella. He was a general, a military general among Israel's best. He was Moses' aide. But all of his life, all he knew was Moses. Now he's dead. He's gone. God comes along and consoles him. And I thought for a long time, and I've preached this text before, but I thought for a long time that God was being insensitive when he said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. The obituary for the death of Moses is found in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Moses didn't exit the scene because he was sick. He didn't have a hearing problem. He was not feeble. He wasn't weak. God had used him for his purpose. Now his time is up. And the book says God took him up to Mount Nebo, up to Pisgah. And the book says there he died and the Lord buried him. You know, to this day, they're still looking. Matter of fact, in just a few weeks, we are going to be hopefully going. I want to go to Mount Nebo, to the place. Because that's the place God allowed Moses to look over the land of Canaan. He wouldn't arrive, but he would see it. And the book says he died and the Lord buried him. 120 years. Look at this. God had been using Moses. Little did he know, three major phases of his life. First 40 years was spent in Egyptian bondage. And even in Egyptian bondage, his destiny in Egypt was not by happenstance. His mother put him in a basket, laid him among the papyri in the Nile, and he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And then it's interesting because the maid went and got his mother to nurse him. That's no accident. Raised 40 years in an Egyptian family, educated in hieroglyphics, educated in Egyptian ways, and then made a left turn and killed a Hebrew because he was abusing a Hebrew. So he made an exit, not knowing that it doesn't matter what exits you make when God's got his call on you. God's going to fulfill his purpose. Sends him out to Midian. I see what God is doing. I didn't see it earlier. 40 years in Egypt, that was about getting, he got a bachelor's of arts in Egyptian hieroglyphics. In other words, he got educated on the hill, but the battle is in the valley. So God sends him out to Midian. There he meets one of Jethro's daughters, marries one of those daughters, Zipporah, and becomes a shepherd of sheep. Now he's doing some graduate work in the valley on how to handle sheep. You see what God is doing? And at 80 years, God lit up a bush on his mountain. Moses had to go see it. You know, God can light up some stuff and get your attention. Little did Moses understand his course of action. Like many of us, he was probably simply meandering on the planet for the sake of existence. God put something in every human being that allows them to live and make a living and to experience their own giftedness. But God never gifts a man for him. He never gifts a man for the man. We've lost that. He always gifts man for his glory. Sometimes the two never really intersect because we dismiss what God is doing. And it's in Egypt that Moses finds out that he's a Hebrew. And now he's got this tension between being an Egyptian and identifying with his natural course of nature as a Hebrew. As he grows older, he begins to look now at his people. And so now in Midian, while tending sheep, while learning pastoral skills. Say amen. See, so God don't always need intellect. You already have intellect. You know, what you need are some pastoral, I call them people skills. The best way to learn about people is to hang out with sheep. Tend to the sheep. 80 years, God calls him. Gets to the mountain of God. And there, God reveals to him three things. First of all, his person. Then his plan. Then his power. And that's not even a message. I'm just showing you how Moses got to where he is and where he's going to be going. While on the mountain, God reveals himself in the burning bush. Y'all know the story. And out of that bush comes a voice. Moses, Moses. I got a sermon when God calls your name. Moses. Moses. I've often wondered, what does the voice of God sound like? What blessed ears would be able to hear the voice of God? I've thought about that. Called him by his name. And you know what Moses says? Here I am. And then God does one thing. First thing he does is he reveals his person. He says, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Moses' heritage. Moses got to be who he was in terms of his lineage because of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And evidently he knew something about him. You don't bow down to God based on that information if you haven't learned about it. Where did he get that information from? Somebody in Egyptian bondage while in Egypt told him. Come on over here, let me tell you about who you really are. I know you dressed up with Pharaonian attire. But you a Hebrew. And you see, we're slaves. And by the way, here's your mother and your sister. I think he began to connect. And while he was in Egypt, God was using him, really getting him ready for something he had never ever dreamed about. And that is to deliver the people of God. You know, sometimes God will choose a person. Not for the person's sake, but for the people's sake. You understand that? And this is important because Joshua's going to miss the point when God calls him because he's been wrapped up in who? In Moses. The second thing God does is he reveals his plan. He says, I've been looking from heaven. For 400 years, I've heard the cries of my people. Now I have come down. I'm going to deliver my folk. And then my plan, Moses, is to send you. And now we have a problem. At age 80, he's going to send them down where he left, and he left it because he killed a man. You know, God has an amazing, amazing sense of humor. He has an amazing way of doing things. His ways are beyond finding out. I don't know how he works. I'm just glad that he does. I don't understand everything he does. And even if he told me, I still wouldn't get it. So I just accept the reality that he's God, and he's got it figured out. And this message, it's going to help you in your personal life, your private life, and in your public life if you listen. Because some of us are meandering, and we don't know what we're doing and where we're going, and we attach ourselves to every fleeting fella that comes along, or every idea. And after a while, you get a little older, and there's some stuff you need not be chasing. Moses is 80 years old. You're done chasing dreams. You're talking about settling down and reclining and laying back, and all of a sudden, God says, I'm not done with you yet. Isn't that amazing? Just about time you finish with you, God says, now, I can really use you now. Why you wait so late? I've been waiting for you to wear out. I've been waiting for you to wear out because I don't wear out. I can strengthen the feeble. I can give men courage. I can make people believe again. And so Moses begins, like most of us, to dismiss the plans of God. I'm sending you, Moses. Everything was fine. The bush had lit up. I can imagine the stories he was going to tell when he got down the mountain. I saw a bush. I saw something y'all ain't never seen. You know how you will. It was on fire and it wouldn't burn up. And then out of the bush, somebody called my name. Somebody on the mountain knows me. I tell all the story. At that revelation of who he was, I bowed down. First time Moses ever worships Yahweh. And there's something about the revelation of his heritage and the identity of God. First of all, look what he said. I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The book says that this, he bowed. Then the plan. I'm sending you. And the excuse, I can't talk well. Excuses. For those of you who move and meander through faith on excuses, listen well. God doesn't need you. You need him. Understand that. And keep on making those excuses. And God will leave you alone. You know, he wouldn't let Moses off the hook. He wouldn't let Moses off the hook. You know, he told Moses, the book says he got angry with Moses. You know, and he asked Moses several questions. Don't you know that I'm the one who makes a man deaf or mute? In other words, I handle voice cards. I handle the vocal cards. I make men speak. You know, and then he didn't let him get away. Well, I know your brother Aaron can speak, and as a matter of fact, he's on his way up the mountain. In other words, you're not getting out of this. You're not getting out of this. The plan was bigger than the man. Sometimes we miss that. Sometimes, bless our hearts, we get stuck on the man and miss the plan. And our world becomes unraveled. My heart's desire is that you will embrace the plan. And then step up and be the man and the woman that's needed in Bible class, that's needed to be faithful, that's needed to be on the front line. But you got to be strong and courageous. And only God can help you embrace the reality of your calling. Because if not, you're going to continue to meander, looking for the right place and the right man and the right formula when it rests in the person of God. And then, of course, now Moses is still standing there, not sure. So he asked him, what's that in your hand? Staff. Well, it's not that God didn't know. The question is, Moses, do you know? Oh, it's just a stick. I can only imagine what Moses might have said. It's just a stick. I use it to hit off the wolves when fooling with my sheep. And every now and then I get a reluctant, you know, butthead billy goat that don't want to do right, and I got to nudge him to the left. Amen. I got to nudge him to the left. I got to be a billy goat who's always butting up against me, butting up against everything. I use my stick to go upside his head. I'm just a man. I'm just saying. He says to throw it on the ground. Y'all remember what happened? This is the third point. After God reveals his person, he reveals his plan. The plan always involves the man. But the man lacks courage and the man lacks strength because the task is too big. Let me drop this. God never equips a man for a task he can't finish. He never calls a man to a cause that he has no confidence that he can do it. See, God knows Moses is weak. But God ain't relying on Moses. He's just going to use Moses. Because Moses ain't got no power. He ain't got what he needs, but I got it. That's why when you get to Joshua chapter 1, you can say to Joshua, well, you know, Moses is dead, man. Right. Had there been one of us, man, you know Moses is dead. Moses died yesterday, man, you know. And then, you know, leave us alone, get over it. No. You know what God tells Moses? You know what he tells Joshua? Moses is dead, but I'm not. Yeah. Moses is dead, but I'm not dead. Why? From everlasting to everlasting, I am God. Get the stick, get the people, and get up and go across into Jordan.
That's right.
But it takes convincing. A lot of men need convincing. Then a lot of men simply fall back because of their personalities. God can work with all types of personalities. God's not into, he don't do a personality eval before he picked you. He made you. You know what he told Jeremiah? I formed you in your mother's womb before you was even born. I formed you, and I picked you. Now go preach. Isn't that amazing? In other words, God can use. Yeah. He can use the most unlikely. Uh-huh. Took a little shepherd boy. Yeah. After he had been looked over by seven buff brothers. Yeah. God can take, he can use you. Yeah. The question is, are you available? Hmm. And are you accessible? Hmm. And are you willing? Hmm. So throw your stick down. Threw the stick down, and guess what the stick turned into? A snake. Have y'all read this? Is in your Bible. I'm not, matter of fact, I'm not making any of this up. This is in your Bible. And the book says, you know what Moses did when he saw the stick that turned into a snake? He did what most people do. Run! So he ran from the snake. And then God says, pick it up by its tail. I don't have time to talk to you about that. Pick him up. Any cowboy, no, you don't fool with the snake from the rear. You work on the head. You know what God was telling Moses? Trust me. I made you and I made the snake. I can have you pick the snake up and tell him not to bite you while you pick him up. So don't grab him by the head because you'll think I got him. Pick him up by the tail and watch my power. And the book says when he picked it up, it turned back into a staff. And Moses probably said, boy, that was good. That was good trick, God, but I still ain't going down the hill. Then he says, take your hand. Put it in your bosom. Book said it came out. Leprosy. Dreaded disease. The finality of leprosy meant death, isolation, alienation from community. As a matter of fact, people with leprosy didn't have a right to go to the temple and worship. It was bad. I bet he thought, I'm doomed, I'm done. And I'm doomed because I didn't want to go. Then he says, now we'll put it back in there. And it came back. Just like it was. And then God says, get on down the hill. I'm just setting a little story up. This is that Moses. Now he's dead. And guess who's left? Guess who's left with all of these people? Joshua. You know what Joshua's name? You know what his name means? Yahweh saves. It's an offshoot of another Savior who would come several thousand years later. The Jews today call him Yeshua. Jesus. And so here is Moses gone, and Joshua's left. And my picture of him has always been maybe now he's discouraged. Can you see him? And he's sitting by the side of the road, maybe. His face is in his hands, and he don't know what to do. Because for 40 years, guess who he's been looking to? Moses. And maybe there's some mistake with that. He's looking at Moses because Moses has been the vision of God for them. But now that vision is gone. That person is gone. So he's probably wondering, what are we going to do? And by the way, where is God? And so look what Yahweh does. My picture of him is that he nestles up close to him. Maybe he puts his arm around Joshua and says to him, I kind of sense how you're feeling. Moses is dead. But I'm not. And I want you to pick up and take the people on in. And look what he tells them. Three things. This is the message. If you're going to be strong and courageous, you got to have some things worked out spiritually in your mind about who your God is. And look at the things he says to him. I will be with you. That's called divine presence. That may not mean much to you, but to have a God that's present means that he will be, number two, a provider. Number three, a protector. He will be an ever-present help. And so you don't have to be fearful and afraid. And what bothers me about this story is how is it you keep telling a major military general to be strong? Why would you have to tell a Marine to be tough? That's what they produce in boot training. Matter of fact, basic training is designed to weed out the weak. Amen. And to tap into that attitude that believes in the system. I've seen them. I've been, my little nephews were Marines. I went to the movies with a group of them guys once, you know. And man,
I almost came out of Marine myself. They was hoo-yaw and roughing and, you know, first I was scared. I said, man, something finna go off. They didn't tell me about it. I mean, something wrong. But by the end of the movie, and we was watching one of them war movies. It was Rules of Engagement, I think. We was watching that, and by the end of the movie, I'm hoorahing and hurrahing. Where's my helmet? Give me my knife. Give me my gun. Hadn't even been to basic training. But by the influence of others and the buy-in of what they believed, that's what faith is about. It's about trusting in a God that can. And so look what he tells them. Number one, I'm going to be with you. That's divine presence. You pull on that. Go back and look at the Israelites' journey when God was present. Even in Egypt. You know, God could have delivered the Israelites in one day from Egypt. But they needed to learn over a series of miracles who Yahweh was. And every time you see God works his work, he's working so that others might know that he is the Lord their God. Every time you read, it's about knowing that the Lord is God. I will deliver you, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. And then when you get to the Decalogue in Exodus 20, he reminds them, I am the one who brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Have no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God. But you're going to have to be strong and courageous. The second thing he tells them is that wherever you place your feet, I'm going to give you that land. I call that divine provision. In other words, God knows you're on a journey, and everything you need, I'll give it to you. And then the third thing he says, I will never leave you. I'll call that providence. The providence of God is the assurance that wherever you go and whatever you do, God is there. And if he's there, can't nobody mess with you. What did he tell Joshua? And won't nobody be able to mess with you? Why? Because God with me. Look at your neighbor and say, God with me. Don't mess with me. Don't say it like that. Don't mess with me. That's right. Don't mess with me. I tell you, don't mess with me. God, I'm GP. I'm God's property. But so when you don't walk in your faith, you can't walk the faith walk. You can't walk trusting in uncertainties. That's why Jehovah says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Y'all got a minute? That's the end of the message. But we got a problem. So we're going to take that message right now, me and you, and go out there and conquer the world. God's with me, claiming the job. Now, he ain't never told you, and you ain't had no Bible for that either. You're going to claim the job and claim the car. Really? Tell the man at Ford you're going to claim one of them F-50s. Tell him. I'd be right here in church waiting on you for next Sunday, and tell me what he said. I claim that truck. Just go get me the keys. Really? See, some of us misunderstand. Drop down to verse 7 and 8. God tells him, first of all, be strong and courageous, but be obedient. Yeah. Now, we don't want to hear that. Yeah. So you want the benefits of the blessing, but you got to know how to obtain the blessing. God will only be with you as you are with him. Right. And he ain't talking about a road dog or a partner either. Right. Only thing that pleases God is obedience. That's right. So look at verse 7, and underline these things, and we'll quit. Verse 7, the Bible says what?
Be strong. Very courageous.
And very courageous.
Be careful to obey.
Look. Underline that word, obey. Amen. You'd rather obey your thirst than to obey God. Say amen. I want you to stay thirsty, my friends. But I want you to thirst for godliness and righteousness and not foolishness. That stuff about claiming materialism, that's foolishness. God ain't into materialism. He's into spiritual stuff. He gives you materialism as the backdrop of you being spiritual. So instead of worshiping the F-150, you'll come to the house of God in the F-150. Yeah. Say amen. It ain't about the F-150. It's about the man driving the F-150. Yeah. Or the woman driving it, for that matter. But we get it twisted because you don't understand what God is asking you. See, we want the benefits of success without the work. He says, do what?
Be careful.
And look. Be cautious. Be careful to obey what? All the law. Well, just a moment. What law? Well, Moses, he knows the law. The law is what God says. Do you not know law need not be delineated line upon line? You don't have to have an itemized list of all the laws. I've been in your Bible class. Well, what laws is he talking about? Well, he fixed it. He said all of them. All laws? Now, read it again. Some of you just missed it. Some of us want to just do some of what God says.
Yeah. Be careful to obey.
Be careful to obey.
All the law.
All the law. My
servant Moses.
My servant who?
Moses.
In other words, Joshua was to be a recipient of the teachings of Moses.
Yes, sir.
And who knew better the laws of God than Moses? God gave the laws to Moses,
right.
So Moses would give the laws to the people.
Yeah.
And so Joshua knew. Go on and read. Watch this. Look. And then he helps them. Then he adds commentary.
Yeah.
While obeying them, don't turn. Where?
From it.
Don't go to the right.
Or the left.
And don't go to the left. Are you listening to this?
Amen.
God is giving one. In other words, don't be trying to figure out how to get around the law. Just what? Just obey. Don't be in Bible class trying to delineate the law. Just do what it says.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, what did he really mean? We get, I'm not here, but some places they become so,
right.
Just so blind. I don't know what it means. When Ford sends you a statement saying that the F-150 payment, it due. On January whatever, give you a date, do you have to call them and ask them, do you really mean January? And is that date right? Then you signed the contract. Do you not know, Christians, you signed the contract?
Yeah.
The day you went down into the water grave of baptism, you signed the contract.
Yeah.
And you ought to read the fine print.
Yes, sir.
Because it requires sacrifice and service.
Yes.
So don't be meandering around my commandments. Don't be sitting around debating whether or not I should be faithful. And God tells you to be faithful. Say amen.
Amen.
So you want the blessing. But you don't want to deal with what's necessary to get there. Go on and read. We get ready to quit.
Right.
Don't turn to the right.
Or the left.
We got right folk. Any right, left, right-handed folk? Any right-brained people in here? Left-brained, left-handed? You know, all of us function off of our brains. You are, what are you talking about? The brain. Well, you have one. Believe it or not, you have one. And there's data logged in it.
Yes, sir.
And most of that data ain't from the book. It's from our culture. That's why you lean to the left and you lean to the right. That's why you don't know what to do. But God tells Joshua, he tells Joshua specifically, you know, if you want what I'm going to give you in verses 1 through 6, then you need to follow verses 7, 8, and 9. Go and read. Watch this now.
You may be successful.
Look. The reason why you ought to obey me so that you could be what?
Successful.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Successful. Now, of course, how do we measure success in our culture? By stuff.
Uh-huh.
By stuff. So the more stuff I got, the more successful I am. Then you done gone to the left. Everything, and everything you have is in a box to the left. I'm just saying. To the left. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, go and read. Watch this now. Watch this.
Keep this book.
Keep what?
This book of the law.
Hawthorne?
Yeah.
Stanley?
Yeah.
And Don?
Yeah.
This is the book he's talking about.
Yeah.
Don't let me catch you in some Bible class talking about what book? This book right here.
Yeah.
It's got 66 books in it.
66.
39 in the old. 27 in the new.
Yeah.
4 divisions in the old and 4 in the new. This book, go and read.
All right. Keep this book of the law always.
Keep this book of the law always.
On your lips.
In your business meetings.
On your lips.
Pull out this book.
Yeah.
Don't open up those books until you've been in this book.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the meeting don't want the book.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, son. You're going to be successful.
Yeah.
Got to make up your mind. You got to be strong, son.
Yeah.
Can't be weak and feeble.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
You got to have bulldog tenacity.
Yeah.
You get you a pair of cowboy boots or something and some spurs and get you a horse, but you gotta be definitive in your leadership.
Yeah.
And you lead from strength and not from weakness.
Yeah.
Go on and read.
Meditate on it.
Isn't that not only must you get the book, Open the book up.
Yeah.
Meditate on it. Uh-huh. When?
Day and night.
No, when you have time.
Day and night.
The idea of meditation is a state of being.
Yeah, man.
You don't have to have the book with you, but have it in you, and you can meditate on what you've been reading. Say amen.
Amen.
So we get into trouble. We go left thinking, well, I had scripture this morning, really. But I'm still meditating on stuff I've been reading.
Yeah,
meditating on when?
Day and night.
And then what?
So that you may be careful.
To do everything that's written in it.
Then
in other words, God wants obedience.
Yeah,
go and read.
Then you will be prosperous.
Look. Then you will be prosperous.
I
quit. But look what he said. Mm-hmm. Prosperous,
yes.
And don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. Prosperity is a byproduct of success.
Yeah.
A lot of folk want to be successful, but they get success messed up with being prosperous. And trust me, prosperity is the result of successful folk. Successful folk have a vision of who they are and who they want to be. They work at that.
Right.
And the benefits of success is, guess what? The stuff.
Lord.
You understand that?
Yeah, man.
But we get hung up on the stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the Bible says your prosperity and your success is wrapped up in that book. Isn't that interesting?
Good.
And so he's not talking about material stuff. God's going to bless you with material stuff. He got plenty of that stuff.
Yeah,
but if you're pursuing the stuff, then that's your success and not his. I drop this and I'll quit. Anything that takes you away from God is a failure.
That's right.
Any man, any woman that takes you away from God, that's a failure.
Yeah.
God will never give you anything that will take you away from him,
amen.
But the devil will.
Yeah, good stuff.
God will never give you a job and then make you work Sundays. God, why would he do that? But in the Decalogue, he reminded Israel of the day of worship. And they were not supposed to do anything. But see, when you're not in the book,
yeah,
you got to go left.
Yeah.
Then you got, watch this now, then you got to work around God's schedule where the Lord knows I have to work. Really? Don't dumb down Yahweh by making statements about he knows I have to work. Really? Who in the world think gave you the breath you breathe?
Yeah. That's right.
He also gave you a book.
That's right.
God will bless you. But when you start bowing down to other gods, you're on your own. You're at the mercy of those gods.
Right.
Too often we're sacrificing our faith for foolishness.
Mm.
So you be strong. Hawthorne, be strong. Sisters, doves, be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
You've been given the word.
Yeah.
Walk in it.
Yeah.
Live in it. It's your time. And don't walk through the pastor passively, tiptoeing through the tulips. Walk with a sense of courage,
some
dignity, some respect, and God will pave your way. He'll move mountains you can't move. Open doors that have been shut. Give you what you don't deserve, and you better say thank you. Say amen. That's my little message this morning. Just be strong. Divine presence, I'm going to be with you. I've had to learn that. Faith moves, always challenging. People, you haven't met folk. Well, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. Was you not me?
Yeah.
I was telling one of my sons, Michael MP the other day, if I'd listened to most of y'all, I wouldn't be nowhere.
Because
most of us are crippled and immobilized by our own weak psyches.
Yeah,
half scared and it. Well, yes, I wouldn't, if I was you, I wouldn't. You need to dismiss toxic people in 2016. Get in the book and walk in faith and be strong and courageous. And God will see you through. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what me and Sister Hawkins would do. How it's going to look, God said you're going to be successful. Now understand, success may not look like you want it to look. Success may mean sitting there by yourself.
Yeah. Right.
And if you got peace there, success.
Yeah.
And some of you right now trying to dislocate, trying to disengage from folks that just keep pulling you down.
Yeah.
They pull, you got chilling pulling you down, you got him pulling you down, you got her pulling you down, and the only safe haven you have is church. Well, I'm glad you're here. You came to the right place. Yeah. Now start following that book. Let me tell you, I double dog that. You start following that Bible, and the problems you have, the people, the problematic people, the toxic people, they'll drop off by themselves. Amen.
Yeah,
I told you several times how to get rid of people with rumors. Amen. They get on the phone, start talking that stuff, just start saying, Jesus. Start singing Jesus. Child, did you hear what's going on over there? Jesus. Amen. But they mention you. Jesus.
Amen.
What you think about that? Jesus. I bet you in 1 minute, click. And after they click, you say, praise the Lord, thank you. Because if people are not going to partner with you in your Christian journey, you don't need that. So you be strong. Be strong, son. And be courageous. God's going to be with you. God's going to be with you, Hawthorne. Stay in that book. Well, if you're here, that'll help your personal life. It has helped mine. I'm convinced that I may not know where I'm going, but God knows. And if he can dry up a river, if he can blow the wind up against a wall of water and it stand there and look at me while I walk through on dry land, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God can, I can open up some stuff for you. But he's waiting on you. So be a frontline believer. Don't sit back and wait for stuff to happen. You get on the front line and make it. Trust God. And watch what he does. Quit trusting in your ability. I know you think you're smart, but God is smarter. Trust me. He's smart. If you're here and you're struggling, that's good. Sometimes growth comes out of struggle. But be obedient. At least be obedient in your struggle. And ask God to give you strength to carry on. If you're here, you're not a member of the body of Christ. It's a good time. Good time. The year is still early. Still January, right? You can get some things changed. You can change some things. But you got to come to Jesus. You come by faith. And that is belief, believing and acknowledging that he alone is the Lord. He's God. He knows what's best for you. You really don't know what's best for you. You think you know. You didn't go to the left. You didn't veer to the right. And then you're wobbling. You're with him, you're with her, you're with them, you're with they. You're just all over the place. You know, no sense of direction. And just about time you get direction, it's not his direction. And you're back. Aren't you tired of that? I got tired of meandering. That's my word. It's just floating along with no sense of direction. Well, Jesus can help you with that. You know why? He says, I am the way. I'm not a way. I'm not going to offer you ways. I'm the way. Not only am I the way, I got truth for the way. And then you want to live, you haven't lived until you hook up with me. So he offers that to you, but you got to believe that. Now, when you come to him, you got to give up your agenda. You can't bring your iPad and place it next to the Bible, and y'all work out a compromise. It don't work like that. Leave your notepad, say amen, your iPad, and all your other pads, and pick up this book.
Amen.
It's called repentance. Turning in your agenda for his, and then confessing. That confession is to be verbal among the aggregate, but then you got to live out the confession daily. Every day, we're bearing witness to the word that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Yes.
And then we'll baptize you. Now you are a candidate for baptism. In baptism, water baptism, God washes away your sins. You can't drink them, smoke them, or dope them away. You got to have them washed by the precious blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
We still believe that. Amen.
Yes.
We sung it this morning. Nothing but the blood. And Desire is not going to drop the blood off. Trust me. He ain't giving up the blood. I know him. He going to ride that blood thing clean on out of here. And by the way, stay with the blood thing. Because that's how we're redeemed. And what God will do, he'll fill you with his spirit. You can get a new agenda. You can start thinking better. Amen. Thank God. I'm learning to think better. I'm tired of that stinking thinking. I'm starting to think better. And when you start thinking better, you start feeling better. Then you start feeling better, you can act better. And then God will work on your behalf. And you can enjoy being a believer. We don't have to be, you know, hum and drum and looking pitiful. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that ever again. I refuse to have a Cainite face. A Cainite face in the presence of a holy God. God asked Cain, why are you looking like that? Have y'all read? Y'all don't even read your Bible. That's in your Bible. It don't matter how you look, I beg to differ. Pull up in front of Yahweh with one of them faces, and he'll check you like he checked Cain. Why are you looking like that? Why your face died? It's worship time, and your face, why are you frowning like that? Lockjaw, breath is bad, all tight. What's wrong with you? By the way, where's your brother? In other words, what's wrong with you is our relationship ain't right. And you've taken that on your brother. And then you know what God told Cain? If you would have simply done like I asked you, you would have favor as well.
It's good stuff.
But you disobeyed me. And then he says, sin lies at the door. And then he says, and he desires you. Then he dropped this note of positivism. You got to learn to master it.
Yeah.
And you can only master your own life with the help of the master.
Yeah.
So if you need prayer, come on down. I want you to be praying for Sister Hawkins and I.
Sure.
Ministry is always a challenge. Yes. Everywhere you go, you work with people. That's what we do. But we're trusting God.
Yeah.
And then pray for us because we're leaving in 2 weeks to Israel. Pray for us for safe travel. We're going over into Jordan, uncharted territory by me. Pray for us, taking a group, but God's going to bless us.
Yeah.
And we'll be praying for you. But the only thing we can say to you is be faithful. There are no easy solutions. There are no quick answers to Christianity. Be faithful. Be strong and courageous. If you're here and you need to respond, do it right now as we together stand and sing.